My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. We're here to talk about draft prospects in the future. And, of course, that involves college football and the start of the college football season for Michigan and Michigan State. And when we did our preseason thing, Evan and I weren't exactly high on Michigan State. And when we did our preseason thing, I was really high on Michigan. Evan was a bit like, I don't know, like Evan is about Michigan a lot. Michigan looked terrible against Texas. Michigan State looked really good against Maryland. And I would tell you this, Evan, the fact that Aiden Childs is apparently that good and potentially great, the fact that Nick Marsh is living up to his nickname, Baby Megatron, Michigan would kill to have those two guys. All right? Because Michigan doesn't have a quarterback and they don't have wide receivers. They've got one tight end, and that's Colson Loveland, and he dropped the ball. So, it looks to me, and I know you're a big Michigan State guy, and it looks to me like, hey, you know what? This season's going to be a lot different than maybe what we thought. And that maybe that game on October 26th is going to be a very interesting game. What do you think?
Well, Michigan is who I thought they were after that first game. You know what they reminded me of, Pat? They reminded me of Michigan pre-Stallions when they would face big-time opponents. They would usually get their doors blown off, and that's exactly what happened Saturday afternoon. And the reason that I had that thought process was, yes, Michigan's defense has 3 really, really, really NFL-type players. But then there's 8 other guys that need to play on the defense in order for that defense to really excel. In my opinion, those other 8 guys were unproven, and that was shown against Texas. Now you look at the other side of the ball, they don't have a quarterback. The Davis Warren story, I'm never going to root against that kid because of what he overcame. I will root against his helmet, that's of course. But it almost looks like they were getting high on their own supply all off season, being national champions, and thought that their method and their play calls and their culture were going to be enough to get them wins this year, when in reality, they don't have a wide receiver of any substance. Samaj Morgan, he's a nice guy if you can get him in space, but the problem is you really can't get him in space right now. Like you mentioned, Colson Loveland, the good teams are going to take that kid out of the game because he is their only target right now. You looked at the emergence of Bell, who had like a catch against Texas. He's a bigger bodied receiver, but you need to see more from those guys, but they're all smaller in stature. And then when you go look at Michigan State, a team that, let's be honest, we really didn't know what the hell they were going to be because of so much turnover. I think it was 60 new names and faces within that football building. And then you watch the first game where Aiden Childs, you're like, oh my God, like what did they sign up for? And then from game 1 to game 2 was like a completely different team. They were able to run the ball. And what I love the most about Aiden Childs, I don't know if you saw this today, Pat, but one of his interceptions was overturned to a fumble. So he only had 2 against Maryland. But the fact that he turns the ball over And they aren't shy to let him keep going out there and gunslinging. The fact that he has a short memory can put that behind him because, you know, Pat, in college with these young kids, he was 18 at the time. He's 19 today, as a matter of fact, that to have a short memory and to not think that you can't do it, I think this kid has so much confidence. It's unbelievable. And then the emergence of Nick Marsh, you look at the first game and you're like, where the hell was he? He had like one catch. And then he's out here just running past all the Maryland defenders. And I also think Loxley kind of screwed that game up for Maryland early on in the game. They were running screens. They were doing whatever they wanted. They were hitting the deep ball. Then they just completely changed their philosophy there. So that was a little weird, but I think after seeing 2 weeks, Michigan is more what I thought they were, just an average Big Ten team. And Michigan State is yet still an average Big Ten team, but instead of only winning 5 games, I think they could win 7 or 8 this season.
Well, the way I, first of all, on Childs and Marsh, you know, the deep balls are obviously very important running by guys. But what impressed me is, like, earlier in the game, when he threw a couple out routes to Marsh that were NFL throws, the velocity on it, the location of it, the way Marsh caught the ball, you see those type of throw in tight windows. You see those type of throws in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that to me was an eye opener. And Childs was so bad in the first game. I thought, wow, you know. Why was this guy the number one guy in the transfer portal? And here's the other thing to consider about those two teams specifically is that if you were to rank the quarter, there's two power conferences now. The ACC is not in the Big 12. Don't rank with the Big 10 and the SEC. And if you were to take all the teams in the SEC and you were to take all the teams in the Big 10 and combine them and then rank their quarterbacks, Childs is in the top third right now, I think. And I think that Michigan's quarterback situation is at the very bottom. I'm not sure anybody quite has as bad a quarterback situation as Michigan. And receivers, you compliment that because Michigan State also has a couple other receivers. They really haven't taken advantage of velling the tight end the way they want. I think Montori Foster's got a little bit more than what he's shown these first couple games. I just looking at him, and I don't know, they haven't unleashed Gates and some other things. You know, Michigan is lacking in skill position players on offense. And you can have a terrific defense, you know, but you can't in today's college football go by. And it's not like they have a great offensive line. And their play calling, I mean, if you look at Jonathan Smith and you compare him to Sharon Moore, who are you going to want to be your coach?
I know who I choose. And doesn't it make you wonder too, Pat, that if coming into the season they thought they were okay offensively, was that offense moving the ball on their defense in practice? And that makes you wonder even more if you're Michigan that maybe we did overvalue A, B, and C. I mean, you go look at Donovan Edwards that was expecting to have a huge year this year. The fact that he ran for 27 yards in the first game. Now, he did run a little bit better against Texas, but then they took him out and they put Benjamin Hall in and they were letting Mullins run it a lot. It just makes you question what the hell the coaching staff was looking at during spring practice to come into this year to be comfortable at those positions.
Yeah, and I think these are fair criticisms. I don't think it's like, oh, you're a big Michigan State fan or people say, oh, Sparty on. I thought Michigan was going to win the Texas game, you know, and I couldn't have been more wrong. And it's like I wrote about this. Is it a classic overreaction? Perhaps. But, I mean, it's very difficult. And Maryland's Maryland. It's like you said.
Yes.
They're kind of weird. They look like they're pretty good and then all of a sudden they show you they're not. And then when they look like they're really bad, all of a sudden they show you they're not that bad. So I have no idea, but I know that, the receiver, Ty Felton's real good. I know they have a couple good backs and Hemsley and Nolan Ray from Brother Rice High School. And I thought the Billy Edwards looked good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. To me, the whole situation is just very, very puzzling. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, Michigan, I thought they would win against USC. That game's coming up a week from Saturday. And it'll be fascinating to see how that goes. And Michigan State's got to go to Boston College a week from Saturday. And Bill O'Brien's the coach there. Castellanos, their quarterback, is a really good player, and they've looked good so far. So in that game's there, I think, the Will Birchfield Stadium?
The Will Birchfield Stadium in Boston. And to make matters worse for Michigan State, if it already wasn't going to be tough, it was announced it's an 8 p.m. kick, and it's also their red bandana game. And if you're not familiar with that red bandana game, do yourself a favor. Go watch the 13-minute video that ESPN put out on it. You'll understand, and you'll also understand why that game's so special to BC.
So there you go. It's going to be tough. And then there's a gauntlet there, Ohio State at Oregon. I've been on trip to Oregon. It's not going to be easy for them to win there. Iowa and Michigan. But if they get past that, all of a sudden Michigan State's schedule becomes pretty reasonable. So I'm thinking the Spartans may be able to have a decent year, but they got to keep Childs upright and Marsh upright. They got pretty good backs, but they can't afford either one of those guys to get hurt. And they have no depth.
No. All right. And they're already battling injuries as well.
You know, that center is really good. Tanner Miller. Mm-hmm. The transfers he brought in can play on the defensive front. Jonathan Smith brought in. I just don't know why Michigan didn't do more in the transfer portal. I mean, obviously at quarterback and receiver, why didn't they go out and the decisions they made on the offensive line aren't working out very well?
Well, it makes you – I mean, I scratch my head every day because I wonder if some of it has to do with the allegations against the program. Maybe they didn't think that they could get certain kids. Or maybe, like I said earlier, they were just high on their own supply where they thought what they were doing is the right way and they had the right players. And that's why I said it makes you wonder. If Davis Warren is going out against this defense and throwing it all over the field and you're like, okay, the kid can play. As a Michigan coach, you're thinking that because you think your defense is as good as advertised. But then, I mean, the whole Alex Orji thing is mind-blowing to me. The fact that
that's weird.
He played quite a bit last year, so you would have thought that job was just his.
But yeah, he only threw one pass.
In 2 years.
Yeah, and the other thing, but I saw him in the spring game. I watched their spring game every play. Mm-hmm. And he missed a couple throws, but he made some nice throws in tight windows. And he's been there for 3 years, you know. He's a character kid. You know, he comes from an amazing background, his family. I can't figure out. And then they put him out there in that stupid Wildcat. I call it the Wildcat with the big block M there.
It's comical, Pat, because you're like, okay, there's no way they're running this kid right here, even though all indications are they were going to run him. You're like, there's no possible way. That's what they're gunning. Both
they're
going to
run him right up the middle.
You don't even give the kid a chance.
No. So it's mind-boggling. I don't know if we'll know much more after Arkansas State and Prairie View, A&M, about the two teams, but it's been fascinating. As far as the rest of the conference is going, it looks like, you know, Ohio State, it's hard to tell yet, but obviously they're very good. I thought the Iowa loss to Iowa State was somewhat telling. You know, the game was in Iowa City. They didn't score a lot. It was kind of a typical thing for Iowa after they had a big 40-point explosion. You know?
I know.
It's kind of the same thing. But I got to tell you, watch out for USC. They look a lot better than what I anticipated. You know,
yeah, Moss is playing well. They have good position players. I mean, that win against LSU.
Well,
say what you want about LSU, but it's
Branch is a special player.
He's fast.
I mean, he's a special player. They got good backs, and their defense looks like it might be a little bit improved. So, and I haven't been thrilled with Oregon. Oregon's offensive line looks terrible. Mm-hmm. And even though they managed to get by Boise, it was kind of strange to see how that went. But looking at the Big Ten right now, I think, you know, looking at, I don't know who's going to separate. I have a feeling Rutgers isn't going to be bad this year. Ultimately, their schedule is very manageable.
Very much so.
You know, so they might be a team that kind of comes out of nowhere. I don't know if it means anything that Indiana's rolling up a bunch of points, that type of thing with the new coach and culture. But, you know, will Michigan have some games other than the obvious ones that are going to be troublesome? And I don't think anybody with Michigan, because I said that that Washington game was going to be difficult for them. I think it will be now, especially with the way things are. They could be looking at a season if they were to slip up against somebody, you know, a Michigan State or somebody along those lines that nobody could have thought they could possibly lose, at a very mediocre season. And I know Sherrone Moore just signed his contract, but how long are they going to stick with that?
I don't know. It just seems like it's such a quagmire right now. You got no idea what's going on. I feel like they almost don't know what's going on, and they're just kind of going by the seat of their pants and hoping for the best when it looks like the worst might hit them. And I just, to me, I laughed Saturday because it was exactly what I thought was going to happen. A good QB came in, really picked apart their defense. Even if you go look at their first drive, where they went all the way down the field, had a touchdown, had a call back, they missed a field goal, and they still went out there and continued to dominate. That was very impressive to me. And it's just, you wonder if they sit there and look in the mirror and, you know, they're never going to come out and say, yeah, we probably should have got a transfer quarterback, because then you're kind of crapping on the kids in the QB room. But I think deep down, they kind of wish that they went out and got one.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't take Jaden Davis, too, and had him prepared.
Isn't it weird? Because he was a highly touted freshman, and you see freshmen play all over the country now.
Right, and he was in spring practice, and he's a very experienced high school player. Four-star kid. It's just really, really weird what they're doing. I thought John Jansen brought up a really good point, too. I was listening to their broadcast about their defense. And John's like, you know, he played offensive line, obviously, at a high level. And he's like, why is their defense standing up and looking in the backfield? And they would get down and then immediately Texas would jump them. You know, they weren't ready. There were all kinds of, like, weird nuances that went on in that game and that were easy for somebody like John to point out while he was broadcasting it. And they got to really, really tighten it up. But we'll see where it goes.
Pat, even go look at a guy like Kenneth Grant that we touted highly.
He looked terrible.
He has one assisted tackle through two games.
He's been terrible. Mm-hmm. He's been terrible. Will Johnson hasn't played well.
Well, and that's where my point of having three stars on that defense. Will Johnson, you don't even have to let him play in that game if you're the opposing team. You just don't go to his side. I know. And he wasn't even defending, like, Texas's best receivers. You know what I mean?
I know.
It was just weird.
Texas had a whole new receiving core and their backup running back after they lost the great running back.
No, third string running back and then fourth string running back.
Yeah, little backs. So, but we'll see where it goes from here. Appreciate you listening. Now, don't forget to like us at the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, or Odyssey.com, wherever you get us. We do it about drafts, prospects, in the future. We talk about the Tigers, Lions, Red Wings, Pistons, some national stuff. Check it out, the columns that I write. It's Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. And, Evan, your Twitter account?
Jem Mint Jenkins.
Yeah, X. It's now X, of course. And follow us on all the different levels, all right? Till next time, we'll see you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.